fifth and sixth day. Should be able to go through this, I think, pretty quick. And let's go and pray. Lord, I do ask you to help us understand your words. Help us know how to apply the words. Help us to see what the great creation that you've created, that we might be a pleasure to you. That's why you said you created all things. It's for your pleasure. And help us to fulfill the purpose of giving each of us life to be a pleasure to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, that song was the song at the Care Center Rensselaer when I taught there that they requested every single week, that song. Because that song is your most important relationship in life. So it's walking with the Lord. So, okay, Genesis 1:20. This is the fifth day. Remember that so far on verse 3 through chapter 2, verse 3 seems to be 7 days. And it seems that verse 1 and 2, there's a gap in there of a couple thousand years. So on day 5, God said, "Let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven." Okay, so that first heaven, so it's the fowls would be in the first heaven, that's called the first heaven. And then, and God created great whales, and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind. Okay, after their kind, that's the classification of animals, how it's related here. Every winged fowl after his kind, and God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply." And notice the word, "and fill the earth," or fill the waters in the seas. "And let fowl multiply in the earth," and evening morning of fifth day. Notice, fill the waters. This is the first time. Fill the waters. This is different than what he tells Adam later on in verse 28. Okay, so a whale is a problem for the evolutionist. Through eons of time, how did that animal, how many whales drowned before they realized they had to get up and breathe air? Okay, how did the whale come up on land, backslid, then went back into the water? He's a backslidden evolutionist. Okay, the taxonomy of whales is to classify them as mammals, but in the Bible, fish and birds are classified together. Okay, in biological taxonomy, they will break the plants and animals in 8 different ranks. They'll break them as domain, kingdom, division, class, order, family. Is it genus? Is that how that's G-E-N-U-S? Genus? And then species. Okay, now, when all through the creation story, we'll read after his kind. That seems to coincide with family. So that'd be the third category of the 8, family. And the animals that got on the ark were after his kind. Not every poodle, not every chihuahua, not every shepherd. It was the kind of canine, 6 different kind of canine, if you want to call it that, where you had, including all the canine, where all the canines of today have come from that 6. I say 6 because you have 3 boys of Noah and 3 wives. And so down at Purdue, young fella smarted off to me and he said, "Do you think all these people came from 2 people?" And I just said, "Well, do you think they all came from an amoeba? I mean, which one is scientifically possible?" Okay, if you study human growth rate, we are pretty well online from 8 people after the flood. If you study human growth rate, and I think it'd be a great track titled "Numbers Don't Lie." Okay, the most conservative evolutionists say that man's been on Earth for about 100 million years. Can't be. Where will all the people be? Totally impossible. Okay, but a lot of times you can have the exact right argument for somebody, and it's a matter of the heart. It's all a matter of the heart. So in this, you have a whale. Now, whales are a very unique type of fish, called a fish in the Bible. And like I said, fish and fowls are classified together, probably because their tail is significant in motion, probably because they don't leave a trail behind them. I don't know, but that's how the Bible classifies them. The word whale, if you would, try Lamentation. Right after Jeremiah. Jeremiah mentions he doesn't say it's a whale, but he calls it a sea monster. But he mentions in Lamentations 4, verse 3, even the sea monsters draw out the breast that gives suck to their young ones. How did he know that? So there's the mammal or the whale that nurses the baby whales, or the dolphins or the porpoises. The daughter of my people has become cruel like the ostriches in the wilderness. Okay, in Genesis 1:17, in the story of Jonah, where it says a great fish. A great fish. Oh, and people mock that story. Jonah and Revelation are probably two of the most misunderstood or mocked books in the Bible. And these guys just mock the story of Jonah and the whale. Oh, it couldn't have happened. Are you kidding me? It's happened on several occasions where people got swallowed by a whale or a white shark. Okay, and well, they said you believe he lived through it. Well, he lived through it, but it looks like he died in the process in Jonah chapter 2. Okay, and so they're just not looking at the big picture. Of course a whale can swallow a man. Okay, there's nothing unusual about that. But in Jonah 1:17, it's called a fish, but Jesus Christ calls it a whale. In Matthew 12, verse 40, so as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. So on day five, we have the fowls and the fish classified together, and the kinds of the plants and the animals in hierarchies of superior and subordinate groups. Okay, so we don't have a problem with biology and the taxonomy. That doesn't conflict with the Bible. But what conflicts with the Bible is when they say that man and woman are mammals. Okay, we're primates. Yeah, some of them are, but okay, no, we're different. And this is what I believe should be pointed out when you get in a discussion. If you get in a discussion with an evolutionist or somebody of that viewpoint, first off, don't get intimidated. Okay? You may think they're brainy, but I don't think a person's real brainy who actually thinks he came from a monkey. You know, I'm really kind of questioning their mental capacity. Okay, and Romans chapter 1 says, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. So you can use science, true science, to have a discussion with these people to point out the hypocrisies in their viewpoint. And one of the things I point out and really get some backpedaling, I'll say to them, in the animal kingdom, what's the law of the jungle in the animal kingdom? They usually come out and they'll usually answer, survival of the fittest. I said, yay, thank you. Thank you for that admission. Survival of the fittest. So, would it be wrong for me to use a gun or stew and just start shooting people up? Because survival of the fittest. I'm more fit than somebody else. Would that be a problem? So, and I'll say to him, so that does Adolf Hitler, does that kind of ring a bell to be a hero, a mentor in your viewpoint? Survive the fittest. Why do they backpedal on that? Hitler, Stalin, and Mao, what justified their killing of millions of people is the evolutionary theory. That's what justified it. Okay, so now if we go to day five. So day four was pretty quick, but I do want to point out that there's one of the fish and fowls that is given the type or kind, a whale. Okay, so day six. God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle. Okay, so there's the second of two animals that are given a special position, whales and cattle, and creeping thing. Creeping thing, that's the evolutionary professor in the universities, the way they look. Creeping things, creeps. Okay, and beast of the earth after his kind, and so it was so. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, the cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind, and God saw that it was good. Now, isn't it amazing how some of those creatures that God has made are microscopic? You know, man's discovering some of those. Okay, now here's a unique creation. God said, let us. So right there, that plural pronoun is one of the first. It's not the first. You'll get that in 1 and 2, verses 1 and 2. But this one is one of the clearest evidences right off the bat that God is a Godhead or Trinity. Let us make man in our image. So he says, let us make man in our image. Okay, now the man that was made in God's image was Adam. After our likeness, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea. The them would be jumping into Adam and Eve. Eventually, he gives just an overview here, and then he comes back and fills in the details. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So that was Adam's, that was given to Adam as a king on earth, dominion over all the animals. Then chapter 2, he starts filling in some of the blanks. So God created man in his own image, in the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And God blessed them and said unto them, be fruitful, multiply, and replenish. That's different than fill. Replenish the earth and subdue it. Okay, man is subdue the earth. That's his dominion, the earth. And have dominion over the fish of the sea. Okay, some of that is demonstrated at SeaWorld. Okay, and over the fowl of the air. And some folks can train that and illustrate that. And over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed. To you it shall be meat. Okay, the word meat, see how the Bible defines the very first time that's occurred. Meat is not flesh product, not limited to flesh product. So Adam and Eve, in verse 29, their diet was, at this time, fruit that grew above the ground. Okay, after the fall, then they added vegetables that grew below the ground. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there's life, I have given every green herb for meat. Green. That's something that a person needs to make sure you get in your diet a lot of. Green. It's got high calcium and stuff like that. So every green herb for meat, and it was so. And God saw that everything that he made, and behold, it was very good. And evening and morning were the sixth day. So here's some things that we see in this. First thing, verse 21, whales. Verse 24, cattle. Two of the animals that are given clear, unique positions. Both of those animals, Satan has used that to represent himself. Ezekiel chapter 10, verse 14, a cherub is a split-foot being, And that's where people come up with the idea, holy cow, a papal bull, a golden calf. Okay, and that is what the monster drink and Red Bull is, testosterone from cattle, a bull. Okay, and so that is something that is associated with the devil. Now, we obviously know not all cattle this way, but this is one unique way, a deceptive way, when people elevate the sacred cow, okay, in India. Satan is getting, people are paying him homage. Okay, another one is the whale. Okay, a whale, okay, you'll find that in Ezekiel 32, verse 2. Moby Dick. I remember, I don't know if some of you remember, Family Classics that used to be on WGN about Sunday at 4 o'clock? Showing how I grew up. I remember getting to watch Family Classics before we go to Sunday night service at the Dutch Corner and then to Bible Church. I always remember like watching Family Classics, and they had Moby Dick on there one time. So Ezekiel 32, verse 2. Son of man, take up a lamentation for Pharaoh, king of Egypt, saying to him, thou art like a young lion of the nations, and thou art as a whale in the seas. And thou camest forth with thy rivers, and troublest the waters with thy feet, and foulest the rivers. So for some reason, the devil has attached himself, or uses those two named animals in the creation story to get worship to himself. Okay, now back in Genesis 1, Adam was created in the image of God. Here's what makes us totally unique from animals. Okay, you and I are not animals. We are not classified as animals. We do not behave as animals in certain ways. Yes, we do in some ways. Especially he does, the husband does, early in the morning. Okay, but No animal gets under conviction for sin. They don't do it. They don't confess their sin. They don't feel guilt. No guilt whatsoever. Now, you can yell at your dog, but he's just responding to the tone of your voice. He's not going to go in the corner and go to a Catholic church. Well, he's a dog. So he's going to go to a Dogoleth church. Cats go to Catholic church. And so, and confess his sins to somebody. Animals don't do that. Okay, no animal can be taught to read, write, or spell beyond conditioned trick response. Just can't do it. No animal can be taught to sing part harmony. Can't do it. They're not taught that. No animal can invent or use tools. No animal can paint or draw. No animal keeps records of his past. They'll write history books. You know, the March, the history, you know, Cat History Month. They don't write history books. No animal has a moral law for adultery, theft, or murder. None whatsoever. And people, we demonstrate this because when you have a skunk or a coon or a possum on the side of the road or a deer, you don't call the authorities and ask somebody to investigate. If a person's on the side of the road, you call the authorities and investigate. Why? Because we're uniquely different. And the only difference between a dead deer and a dead attorney on the side of the road is the skid marks in front of the deer. So, okay, but that is unique. And I would point those things out to people. I would point that out. I got one rooster and about 12, 15 hens, and I have never yet seen a hen in the corner feeling bad because he wasn't faithful to her. It doesn't happen. Okay, and the reason why is because God has placed a moral code in our hearts. And that's how God manifests himself. God, how you know that God has manifested himself to any individual, John 1:9 says that God has lighted the heart of every man, and how you know that God has done that is when they believe in some form of justice. There is zero justice in the jungle. None whatsoever. They go after the young, they go after the injured, they go after the old. They'd rather have the young because the old's kind of gristly. But when you're panicked, you're going to try to get something. So these are unique things about animals. People say, well, we've evolved higher than them. Well, tough apples for them at the bottom. Until that bird figures out how to get a gun and shoot from the sky, you know, we're going to keep shooting from the ground. Okay, and so these are things to point out. Now, we communicate by words, okay? And the thought police and the left-wing liberals and the transgender agenda and the political correctness is trying to get us to stop using words that bring them under conviction. They do not want to retain God in their knowledge. So we communicate by words. God is communicating to us by words. Animals communicate by sounds. Seven basic sounds animals will basically communicate. The basic sounds of an animal is, I'm looking for a mate. Get away, I'll fight. I'm hungry. Stop, I'm scared. Come here. Follow me. I need help, I'm hurt. That's the basic sound. Animals listen to the tone of your voice. They don't really listen to the words except through training. Okay, you could train an animal by the words, but that's training. Okay, so that's what makes us totally different, okay, than animals. We are not as animals. We are not the same, okay, never will be the same, okay, because God created Adam in his own image. Now, Adam was created in the image of God. What about his son after the fall? Genesis chapter 5, verse 3. This is a common misconception about the brotherhood of man and the fatherhood of God. All men are created in God's image. No, Adam was created in God's image. After the fall, Genesis chapter 5, verse 3, everybody since then was created, born in the likeness of their natural born parents. 5 verse 3, Adam lived in 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness after his image and called his name Seth. So the first birth, we are born in the image of our earthly parents, our natural parents, and the second birth is when we are born in the image of God. That's the wonderful benefits of the second birth. Now back in Genesis 1:26, where he mentions, let us make man in our image. So we have the first direct reference to the Godhead. Man has developed a word called Trinity to describe the idea of the Godhead. And it's not a bad word. Okay? People say Trinity is not found in the Bible. Neither is your brain. Okay, but even at that, okay. But Godhead is found. How many times? Three. Okay, three times. The Lord's got a way, does he not? Acts 17, Romans 1, and Colossians 2. So a young man was down at Purdue, and he was talking about the Trinity. He didn't believe in the Trinity. He wanted me to give him some illustration to verify or illustrate the Trinity, and I said, okay, tell me the answer. 1 times 1 times 1 equals... He said, I don't like that illustration. I said, I just gave you one. I gave you one. Okay, 1 times 1 times 1 is 1 cubic. It's 1 multiplied. So he didn't like the illustration. But the word one is significant. Okay, so what we can do is we could try to find illustrations or examples in the Bible how the word one is used of something that's more than one. Now, the word one, I think, occurs in the Bible almost 2,000 times. So if you use a Strong's Concordance, it's going to be time-consuming. Which time-consuming? Studying the Bible is not a bad thing. There is an advantage of reading through the Bible and taking note of things. And so I'll give you some references that the word one is used in this fashion. John 10, verse 30, Jesus Christ said, I and my Father are one. Okay, so there's how do we explain that? We explain that by one occurrence of the word one in Genesis 11, verse 6, where you have thousands of people together under Babel. Nimrod is the guy in charge, where they're going to try to build a thing up to the heaven. And it says the people is one. Thousands of people is one. So there's an illustration. Genesis 41, 25. Pharaoh has two dreams. When Joseph interprets the dreams, he said the dream is one, but he has two separate dreams. Matthew 19, verse 6, in the marriage, where the male and the female become one in the marriage. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 8, Paul said that I planted, Apollos watered, he that planteth and he that watereth are one. So we got those illustrations. And then, of course, the most obvious verse, the best verse, is 1 John 5, 7. There are three that bear record in heaven. Okay, that's all the new Bible is going to give you. You got to guess on the three. Okay, that verse just really gone after, and the Jehovah's Witness Bible, the NIV, and everything, they really go after that one. 1 John 5, 7. There are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, there's one of the problems why they don't like it, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. Okay, so triunity, three in unity. And in Jesus Christ, Colossians 2, verse 9 says that in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So in Genesis 1, we have right there in verse 26, the Godhead mentioned in the created thing. That's where he made Adam a tripart being, body, soul, and spirit. Where an animal is a dichotomy. Okay, and where they have a spirit and a body, it does refer to them as a soul, but the soul and the body are practically synonymous under the Old Testament covenant. Okay, one more, another idea. In verse, if you would try Genesis 9, verse 11. I fully don't understand it, but people that are creation evangelists like Kent Hovind and Ken Ham really have a problem with that gap. And, you know, I've listened to some of their arguments, and their arguments are pretty weak. But if ever I had to talk to somebody about this topic, I would start with Genesis 9, verse 1. And I would show them what God told Noah. Okay, where he said in Genesis 9, verse 1, God blessed Noah and his sons, said unto them, be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth. And I would just simply say, okay, what's that mean? Well, it's after the flood. And they're going to say, he's going to fill up the earth again. And I'm going to say, thank you. Appreciate the testimony. Then back them up to 128. They've already answered it. This is where apostasy sets in. They're going to fall away from something they just said. Okay? We had a fellow that used to come here, and he didn't like the idea of replenish being filled again. And he told me, he said, I'll buy into it if I can see the word plenish means to fill. Well, now there's a seed company, or is there a seed company called Plenish now, or herbicide? I think I've seen that one. I think there is one. And so I happen to have in my office the Oxford Dictionary, is about that thick, where that dictionary adds the definitions as time goes on. And I flipped to it, and I said, oh, look, plenish. I mean, he just told me that he would believe it if he saw it in a dictionary. I said, oh, look, plenish. Phil, he had a backpedal. That wasn't good enough. Okay, so If we go back to Genesis 1:28, what did he tell Adam to do? Fill it up again. Fill it up again. Replenish. Be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth. And that would fall in line with the gap. But if somebody doesn't want to accept that, then you have a problem with this. And so what do we do? There's the first occurrence of the word. The second occurrence is Genesis 9. Then we want, if a person is sincerely wanting to see how the Bible uses the word, you find it in the Bible and run it. And see how the Bible defines it. Okay, it's found in Isaiah 2, verse 6. And from my viewpoint on this, this is when sincerity is manifested. If a person makes a statement, and then he discovers he made the statement and was incorrect, sincerity will say to his conscience, you were wrong, admit it. Pride will say, no, I will not, proving of insincerity. When how many times did Peter say something and the Lord corrected him? And on the spot, Peter would do a 180. That's sincerity. When a person is willing to admit the wrong. Isaiah 2 verse 6. Therefore thou hast forsaken thy people, the house of Israel, because they be replenished from the east. And are soothsayers like the Philistines, and they please themselves in the children of strangers. That's where Americans are at, acting like that. So there's the word replenish. Yeah, kind of a tough one to see the definition, but there it is. Isaiah 23, another occurrence. Isaiah 23, verse 1, the burden of Tyre. Okay, see how it's spelled? That's how Aussies spell the word Tyre. You go to the tire shop, it's T-Y-R-E in Australia. He says, how ye ships of Tarshish, for it is laid waste. Okay, something is laid waste. This might be Atlantis. I'm not sure. Might be. So that there is no house, no entering in from the land of Shittim, it is revealed to them. Be still, ye inhabitants of the isle, thou whom the merchants of Zidon that pass over the sea have replenished. So it was waste in verse 1, but it's replenished. Verse 2. And by great waters the seed of Sihar, the harvest of the river, is her revenue, and she is a mart of nations. A mart is a business. We don't use that word anymore, do we? I don't think I see that word anywhere. That's a King James only word. And nobody sees that word anymore, gas mart, mini mart, smoke mart, Walmart, Kmart. That's what I sarcastically put in the center margin, archaic word that is common. And you got like 100 of those in the Bible. The King James is far advanced. Okay, where, you know, the San Francisco Nephilims are, you know, trying to get their players ready for baseball this year. I mean, what a thing. They ought to put that on a uniform. Put an NIV on the side. Ezekiel 27, 25. Well, there's several of them. You can run them on your own and just kind of see that. Probably the best one, Ezekiel 26, is one I'll look at. Ezekiel 26. Ezekiel 26. 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, 33, seven chapters in a row, Ezekiel focuses on the devil or the Antichrist. Seven chapters right in a row. 26 is one of them, I think the first one. 26, Ezekiel 26, 1. And it came to pass in the 11th year, in the first day of the month, that the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of Man, because that Tyrus hath said against Jerusalem, aha, she is broken, that was the gates of the people, she is turned unto me, I shall be replenished now, she is laid waste. So there we got another occurrence where something is laid waste, but it is replenished. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against thee, O Tyrus, and will cause many nations to come up against thee as the sea causes waves to come up. Okay, let's try it. I'd like to just finish this real quick. Go back to Genesis, if you would. Genesis 2, and if you don't want to, that's fine. Angel, did you go back to it? Okay, see, I knew somebody would. Okay, one thing we want to take note of is that the diet that Adam was given was fruit grown above the ground. After the fall, he added vegetables below the ground, potatoes, carrots, so forth, so on. But the animals were vegetarians, herbivores, or grain. They ate grain. Okay, so they didn't have the... at that time, they didn't have the survival of the fittest of the animals. Meat-eating, flesh-eating products came into being after the flood. I have no idea if they did it before the flood, but as far as God allowed it after the flood was in Genesis 9. Now, with the Jewish people, he did give them a stricter diet on meat-eating. And I think it's because one is the scavengers, and he had a certain regulations. Now, for us to do that today, that would be a matter of preference. It would probably be a matter of a better diet, okay? But that's a person who just has to figure out their body. But in chapter 2, I want to point this out, where it says, thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the hosts of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made and rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. Created and made, two separate terms. Okay, now, this is called, as time progressed, called the Sabbath. But, who's the writer of that? Okay, Moses. Who did God first show the Sabbath to? Moses. Nehemiah 9:14. That'd be a good reference if you want to write that in the margin. Nehemiah 9:14. Moses is the first one. I put it down in a footnote, number 2. So, if that is true, which it is, Adam had nothing to rest from. Hadn't sinned yet. So if Moses was the first person God revealed the Sabbath to, and the Sabbath becomes a sign between God and Israel, Adam, Seth, Noah, his boys, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, they did not keep the Sabbath. There's no record of it. They didn't know about the Sabbath. Now, you can see how the Bible's written. The Bible's written where a person would assume they're keeping the Sabbath, and people who keep the Sabbath, they're holier than you and I. If you doubt it, ask them. Yeah, that's the intent. Self-righteousness. I do something you don't do. I'm holier than thou. Okay, and so, but they do not keep all of the Sabbaths. There's not only a weekly Sabbath, there are annual Sabbaths, and then there is a 7-year Sabbath for the land, and then there's a Sabbath on the 7th of the 7th year and the 50th year. So these people are picking and choosing. There is no Seventh-day Adventist Church or Seventh-day Baptist, which I first got introduced to that years ago down in south of Rensselaer. I never heard of that one. There is not one of these proponents of this idea where they believe in the death sentence for violating the Sabbath. But that's what God established under the Old Testament. That's a rough one. So what they're doing is they're picking and choosing. If a person, I tell them, if a person wants to obey the Sabbath, fine. Go ahead. If a person is a missionary in Israel, I would suggest to keep the Sabbath. Why? For testimony's sake. And that's what Paul did when he went through Israel. He did honor some of those Jewish customs. But he changed them also. He changed some of those Jewish customs or revised them for born-again people. So this idea of the Sabbath, Exodus 31 is the obvious one, verse 12 to 18, where he says the Sabbath is a sign between God and Israel. And it's funny, these folks out there in Phoenix that says they're Israel, they don't keep the Sabbath. Why do they pick and choose? Okay, because that's the human nature of self-righteousness. That's the intent. Okay, well, that's all that, and then we'll try to do something next time. Let's go and pray. Lord, I do thank you for your words, and I do pray and ask that you'd help us to be continual students of your word. Help us to rightly divide it. Help us to be faithful to you. In Jesus' name, amen.